This is DW News, live from Berlin. Polls close in a snap election aimed at healing national division in Armenia. Voters give their verdict on a disastrous defeat in war with neighboring Azerbaijan and a prime minister who signed away large chunks of bitterly contested territory. Also on the program, Moscow steps up anti-COVID measures as new infections triple this month. Officials there find themselves fighting two epidemics, COVID-19 and vaccine skepticism. And Italy's fans go wild in Rome as their team qualifies for the Euro 2020 knockout stages with a win over Wales. I'm Aaron Tilton. Welcome to the program. Votes are being counted in Armenia in snap parliamentary elections. They're the first major test for Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan after a disastrous war with Azerbaijan last year. Pashinyan has been taking an early lead. Last year's ceasefire saw Armenia lose large swathes of territory in the long-disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region. The election result could impact the future of the agreement with Azerbaijan. Despite drops in popularity, Pashinyan is hoping to renew his mandate.
Nikol Pashinyan on his way to the voting booth. Armenia's prime minister called the election to stabilize his government. It's a gamble that could well backfire. Armenia is still smarting from its defeat to Azerbaijan in the war over the disputed enclave of Nagorno-Karabakh. A peace treaty brokered by Russia in November sealed the loss of vast swathes of territory. And that's after thousands of Armenian soldiers had died in the fighting. The lost war kicked off a wave of protests, with demonstrators even storming the parliament in Yerevan. Critics also hold Pashinyan responsible for the country's flagging economy.
The current government has failed. They have failed on the economy and they failed to protect us.
The last 3 years have been awful. Our economy, our politics, it's all gone totally wrong.
I want to be able to get up in the mornings and go out for my exercise without finding a demonstration outside on the streets.
Former President Robert Kahayan is the candidate most likely to unseat Pashinyan. He has strong ties to Russia and once led Nagorno-Karabakh's Armenian government. But those credentials will not help him recover lost ground. Armenians are unlikely to see a reversal of the country's fortunes, whoever wins this election.
DW correspondent Nick Connolly is in Yerevan. He sent us his assessment of the elections.
Armenia's 2 million people had 26 parties to choose from on their ballots, but only two with any realistic chance of forming a government. One belonged to the incumbent Nikol Pashinyan, the other to former President Robert Khachaturian. Among the people we spoke to at the polling stations, there was little enthusiasm for either. One man told me that for him, it was simply a question of choosing the lesser of two evils. This election was always going to be defined by Armenia's defeat to Azerbaijan in last year's war. And many voters here seem determined to punish the incumbent Nikol Pashinyan for signing a ceasefire they say gave away too much too early. A decision that they would argue overshadows all of Pashinyan's earlier reforming achievements. His main rival, Robert Khachaturian, couldn't be accused of being a reformer by any stretch of the imagination. He's a prominent member of this country's political elite that was chased from power in street protests just a few years ago. He's also widely seen as the Kremlin's man in Armenia, something that many voters here in Armenia are now seemingly willing to look past in the hope that by sticking ever closer to Vladimir Putin's Russia, they can expect more support from Moscow next time tensions with Azerbaijan flare up. Ahead of this election, polling suggested that the two top-rated parties were just one percentage point apart. If that turns out to have been anywhere near true, Armenians could now be facing an uncomfortable few days as the two front-runners bring their supporters out into the streets of Yerevan and hold mass rallies as every last vote is counted.
Let's look at some other stories making headlines around the world. French far-right leader Marine Le Pen's party has performed weaker than expected in regional elections on Sunday. Projections show the center-right Republican Party on course to come out strongest in the poll. The second round of voting in France's 13 regions and 96 départements will take place in a week. Israel's new prime minister, Naftali Bennett, has reacted angrily to Ibrahim Raisi's election victory in Iran. Bennett is urging Western nations to wake up before reviving a nuclear deal with Iran. He's condemned Iran's leaders as, quote, mass murderers. 10 people, including 9 children, have been killed in a highway accident in the U.S. state of Alabama. The 15-vehicle pileup near the city of Montgomery occurred as Tropical Depression Claudette swept across the southern U.S., causing flooding and tornadoes that destroyed dozens of homes. The United States has sent 2.5 million COVID-19 vaccine doses to the island of Taiwan in a move likely to anger Beijing, which considers the island part of China. Taiwan's government has accused China of hampering its efforts to secure enough vaccine supply. China was furious earlier this month when U.S. senators visiting Taiwan announced the vaccine donation. Spain's tourism industry relies heavily on British vacationers. Millions of them pack the country's beaches every summer, something that the pandemic put an end to. Although Spain is letting in tourists without quarantine, the UK is telling people coming back that they'll have to self-isolate. And that's put some British beachgoers off at Spain's expense.
A beach that usually sees tens of thousands of people, now with plenty of space. The high tourism season may have started, but Benidorm is still half asleep. The popular holiday destination is missing its main summer visitors, the British. And that's why almost half of all hotels remain closed here. Among them, the Rio Park. In normal times, its 400 rooms would be booked by now.
You feel powerless. We've already had to endure this situation for a long time. In the beginning, we were told it would be 1, 2, or maybe 3 months. But months have passed, and it's not getting better. That can be demotivating.
Spain hasn't made it on the United Kingdom's green list, meaning British tourists need to quarantine for 10 days when they get home. It's a disaster, not just for Benidorm's hotels. Taxi drivers, shops and bars are also feeling the impact. And the few British that have made it here, like Dave from Liverpool, cannot understand the policy.
They're telling us that 70% of the population in Britain's vaccinated, so why aren't we allowed to come to Spain and enjoy our 6 weeks holidays, summer holidays? So just a bit odd, but never mind, we're here to enjoy the sun.
Locals here say the problem is that the UK looks at the national COVID-19 incidence rate, not at the regional. Benidorm's infection rate is below 25. But even the local hoteliers group understands the British caution.
They don't want to open up another country and then reverse, like they did with Portugal. That would be a loss for all the tour operators and complicated for clients too, as they'd have to go home earlier and pay for another flight. The British don't want to slip up again.
Despite the struggle to fill the city's skyscrapers, there is still hope. Mayor remains optimistic that British tourists will finally arrive in the coming weeks.
This has been going well for 60 years. Why should we change anything? When you're happily married, you don't file for divorce, do you?
Miguel Ángel Correa, too, is waiting for the Brits. In July, his hotel will reopen. There are already reservations, but mostly from Spain. An important market, too. Preparations for the guests are underway. The reopening has been a long time coming.
This hotel has 130 employees, and at the moment only 5 of them are working in maintenance and management. We miss our employees. We're really keen to get started again.
With its serene pools and spacious beaches, Benidorm is waiting, hoping for the annual invasion of British holidaymakers. Better late than never.
Most of Europe has seen a sharp decline in COVID-19 cases this month, but in Moscow, the number of new infections has tripled, hitting new record highs. This despite the wide availability of vaccines. The soaring caseload has caused alarm among officials who have stepped up measures to contain the rapid spread of the virus.
The celebrations at Moscow's soccer fan zone are over for the time being. The Russian capital has seen record numbers of coronavirus infections for 2 consecutive days. Hospitals are preparing several thousand extra beds for COVID-19 patients. The city's mayor, Sergei Sobyanin, says the Delta variant is responsible for the latest outbreak. The escalation was unexpected because 60% of Muscovites have already been infected with COVID-19 or have been vaccinated. So there should be a lot of herd immunity. But the Delta variant is not the only problem. The mayor says too many Russians are skeptical. Vaccinations are easy to get, but just 10% have got the shot so far. In response, Moscow has imposed a mandatory vaccination requirement for some sectors. Other regions want to follow the capital's lead, but residents remain unconvinced. If it becomes stricter and stricter, more people will have a negative attitude. I don't trust the vaccine. I haven't found precise information. They just say we should be vaccinated against COVID, that's all. The city's hospitals now want to restrict routine procedures to vaccinated patients, with exceptions only in emergencies. Starting Monday, Moscow will be testing so-called COVID-free bars and restaurants. Only vaccinated people or those who've recovered from the virus will be granted access.
All right, let's take a look at soccer now. And at Euro 2020, Italy have won Group A after beating Wales 1-0 in Rome, though both sides qualified for the last 16. Matteo Pessina scored the winner for the Italians with a header in the first half. Wales had Ethan Ampadu sent off, but they still qualify after finishing second in the group. Switzerland could still qualify as one of the best third-place teams after they beat Turkey 3-1 in Baku. Turkey exit the tournament after finishing rock bottom. All right, and let's take a look at the final Group A table. Italy topped the group with 3 wins from 3 and 0 goals conceded. Wales and Switzerland both have 4 points, but Wales qualify with a superior goal difference, and Turkey didn't manage a single win in a dismal campaign. Italy's reputation as slow starters in major tournaments has been blown out of the water by their blistering form at Euro 2020, and fans across the country celebrated their qualification to the last 16 in typically passionate style.
Jubilation on the streets of Rome, and no wonder. With 3 wins out of 3 and not a single goal conceded, Italy's fans are convinced that all roads lead to London.
I'm confident and hopeful that we'll at least make it to the final. We have a great team, a great coach, and we have a good chance of winning the tournament. It was certainly an easy round for Italy, but it's a good start. It gave us confidence and security. Now we have to see how we will play in the important matches.
Matteo Pessina scored the winner for Italy. He was one of 8 new faces in a much-changed side that, worryingly for their opponents, showed few signs of a drop in quality.
I'm very pleased to see that we changed 8 players and the team played very well. We deserved to score more goals, but Wales defended fiercely. But I really like what I saw in my team. The boys played very well. We're so excited. We're living the moment. We're very happy to be here. How are we going to face the quarterfinals? Well, we're going to put up a good fight. The actual fight starts right now.
Ominous words for Austria and Ukraine, one of whom will face Italy in the last 16.
And in Formula One, Red Bull's Max Verstappen has won the French Grand Prix after a thrilling end to the race. The Dutchman took the lead late on as he overtook Mercedes' Lewis Hamilton. The win extends Verstappen's lead in the championship standings to more than 10 points over Hamilton. Verstappen's Red Bull teammate Sergio Perez completed the podium, finishing third. And finally, a giant panda in Western Japan has been treated to a Father's Day feast. Imei received 5 kinds of bamboo, his favorite food, at a zoo in Wakayama Prefecture. The 28-year-old is the proud father of, get this, 16 cubs, and he's also the world's oldest panda in captivity, to have fathered a cub by natural mating. Emery's youngest was born last November. And up next, our Week in Reports looks at the MH17 trial in the Netherlands and the increase in hate crimes against Asians in the U.S. I'm Aaron Tilton in Berlin.